The first scripture that we have today is from Romans 12th chapter, the 9th through 13th verses. And the title of this section is Love in Action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. The second reading is from the book of John, and the 15th chapter, the 1st through 8th verses, and the title is The Vine and the Branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The word of God for the people of God.
Some pruning is easier than other pruning, isn't it? We go through life and things and people who matter to us, activities or jobs that matter to us, groups and relationships that matter to us. They don't all last. Some pruning is easier than others. How many of you had a favorite toy when you were little? I had a favorite toy. His name was Puppy Pillow. If you want to know how he got his name, he was a pillow that looked like a dog, a puppy. I guess Puppy Pillow rings off of the tongue a little bit better than Dog Pillow, right? And he went with me for a period in my life. He went with me wherever I went. I was either holding him in my arm, or as my mom would tell you, he would be hanging from my mouth. As you might imagine, occasionally Puppy Pillow would get kind of disgusting. So mom would have to put him in the washer and the dryer. And I would stand outside of the washer and I would say, Mom, I can hear him. He's crying. He's going to drown. Mom, he's going to burn up in the dryer. And she would roll her eyes. And when he was finally out of the dryer, give him to me and I would snatch him away. I don't know where Puppy Pillow is anymore. Some pruning in life is easier than other pruning, isn't it? Our faith is supposed to be sincere. We're supposed to practice hospitality. We're supposed to share with one another. But life has a way of wearing us down. Life has a way of eroding our passion and our joy and our energy. And so the pruning, what it's supposed to do, is it's supposed to get rid of those things faith-wise in our life. It's supposed to get rid of those things faith-wise in our life that aren't really producing much fruit anymore so that new fruit can grow. But it doesn't always seem to turn out that way because pruning often is incredibly painful. It doesn't feel like what's being pruned off is unimportant. Maybe it was a belief that we held dear to us when we were young about God and what God would do for us if we did for God what He wanted. Maybe that's the way our faith worked at one time, and we believed that if we did all the right things in the right way, that we would be rewarded by God. And we found out in life that that doesn't always necessarily happen in the way that we think. And our thinking about God has to change. Maybe we've been taken for granted. Maybe when we practiced hospitality, maybe when we shared with others, maybe they took advantage of us. They took advantage of us and it hurts. We expected back from them the same kind of support, and it doesn't happen. And so we get burned out because we feel like we've given and we've given and we've given and there's nothing that's going back in. Maybe we're taken for granted. Maybe we're taking others or even God for granted. You know, our founder, if you come to the membership class, I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of Methodism. Ooh. Actually, people like it when I talk about it, strangely enough. Lori's heard it about 1,000 times, so she'll probably step out of the room. She'll take a little nap. But our founder was a guy by the name of John Wesley, and he lived at an important time in the history of the world. He lived in England at the time when it went from being a economy based on agriculture to an economy based on industrialization. So that meant that a whole bunch of people who had been serfs, who had believed, it was in their belief system that they were supposed to honor whoever their lord was on his estate, that they and their father and their grandfather, generations that had gone past, that it was God's will that they were supposed to work that land and protect that lord, and in turn He would take care of them. But everything that the Lord owned was His. It wasn't theirs. And so when they began to move from, away from this feudal society into the newly growing industrial cities, and they began to work in factories, and they began to make their own money, chaos began to ensue across the nation. People had a hard time dealing with freedom. As quickly as the factories would grow up, pubs would form around them. And on payday, there would be thousands of predominantly men, thousands of men that would go into these pubs and take their money, and they would spend it all on alcohol. And alcoholism began to skyrocket. Poverty in the cities began to take off. Abuse of all kinds began to rise. It seemed like at the time, if you read anybody who lived in that moment, it seemed like the world was kind of coming apart at the seams. And what Wesley did largely was he taught people how to live in freedom. How to live in freedom spiritually. Each one of us is presented with the option of serving God or not. We're presented with the option of becoming a disciple of Jesus or not. And so if we make that decision, if we respond to that grace that God continues to extend us, seeking to be in relationship with us, in right relationship, where we serve Him and we do His work in this world, and often it doesn't seem like it, but that will begins to play out in a myriad of ways that accomplishes God's work in the kingdom, which ultimately we believe will result in a new heaven and a new earth. That if we make that choice and take that responsibility for it, that will transform our lives. But Wesley also taught people how to live in freedom in terms of just life. And he kind of coined this maxim, this saying, the Methodists all knew. It was work all you can so you can earn all you can, so you can save all you can, so you can give all you can. And scholars, historians have debated whether or not Wesley was instrumental in helping to create a middle class in England for the first time. Because as people began to follow his advice, as they began to practice this discipline, a practical discipline for just our ordinary everyday lives, to live on less than what it is that we make, and to put some money back for a rainy day or for new opportunities to serve God, that as people did this, they began to become affluent. So that by the end of Wesley's life, the end of the 18th century, as he reflected on this Methodist movement that started with just he and his brother and a few other people on a college campus in Oxford, England, but now, only after 40, 45, 50 years had resulted in thousands and would ultimately result in millions of people. There was one time in this country right before 1900 where one in every three practicing Christians in the United States was a Methodist. As he reflected upon all the changes that had occurred, he worried about these people called Methodists because of their affluence. He knew them when they were poor and when they were destitute and when they were struggling. But he worried about them more in their affluence because he noted that when people were hungry and they were desperate, they seemed to cling to God and trust in God, and were willing to trust in one another a little bit more, but that as time passed by, the ability to be able to be more independent meant that people would often withdraw. Since everything was okay, crisis averted, the passion dipped a little bit. Their energy dipped a little bit. And so, Wesley always said that what he worried about wasn't that the church would go through hard times. What he worried about was that Methodists would become so comfortable that they would lose their passion for the Lord. And that burning desire would cease to move the movement forward. There's all sorts of ways we can be pruned. I mean, we think about the tough times that we go through life, but as we succeed, there's a pruning in that too. God is seeking a faith to be born out of us that is sincere, that practices hospitality, that is able to reach out to everybody. I mean, if you think about Jesus, there doesn't seem to be any limits on who He's willing to associate with. There aren't any limits as to who He's willing to break bread with, or to talk with, or to teach, or to pray for, or to heal. He'll lay His hands on everybody, even lepers. That's the kind of faith that we're called to. A faith that so trusts God that even though maybe we have been burned in the past, Or maybe we went through a season where maybe our faith didn't burn so bright, or maybe we were just hurt and our understanding of God had to go through a profound change. What God seeks is for us to be able to continue to stay connected to Him through Christ Jesus, so that in the place of those branches that have been pruned off, the energy can come for new fruit to grow. And so every season of life is an opportunity for growth. Yeah, it's painful. There are people who I've, you know, having been here so long. Oh my gosh. I was a kid when I started working here. 1991. I was a kid. 22 years old, working as a youth director. I've been here forever. I've watched so many people come and go from this place. I walked past the angel tree this morning, and I think about Buzz Alder. Every other angel tree that's up in every other church has an angel on the top of it. Ours has a buzzard. Because he loved that ministry. He loved those kids. He loved help facilitating this gift that would come some indirectly from someone who is in jail or in prison, indirectly to those children, but this indicator that they were remembered by this loved one, by a father or a mother, largely because he never had a father in his life. And yet, that pruning, that painful pruning that Buzz had to go through, didn't result in bitterness, but generosity. I have seen so many people come and go. I've watched people who were strong and able-bodied, and they became frail. The pruning of health, the pruning of strength. I watch people retire and move into a new phase of life. The pruning of, in often cases, an identity in terms of how people saw themselves. I am a plumber, or I am a lawyer, or I am a banker. And now all of a sudden they're none of those things anymore. The pruning of families. Families that grew up, that you took care of and you raised, and then eventually they grow up and they move on. The pruning of loved ones, spouses, mothers, fathers, children. I'm burying a one-month-old later today. Died of SIDS. Had this young couple in my office. Never knew the joy that they had experienced welcoming that little girl into this world. And this feeling that came across, that they feel condemned by God. No. No. We need to be a people of hospitality. We need to be a people who share with one another in sincerity. Not because we're overly blessed, but because we have lived through seasons where we didn't feel like we were, and we found out on the other side that we still were. And so we take the blessings that have been given to us, and we use them to God's grace and glory. I have hammered on this thing for the last 5 or 6 weeks. All of the ways that they can destroy people's lives, right? You know, Thanksgivings that were like this, right? Everybody was like this. But these can be wonderful tools to knit us together. They can be wonderful tools to discover new needs and opportunities for service in this world. They can be wonderful tools to take our hearts that have been hardened towards certain groups of people or places in the world or people who think or act differently than we do and see them in a different light. We just have to remain connected. Connected to the living God. So that no matter what, we can remain connected to one another and to the world that we live in and not become bitter or angry or apathetic in the process. But rather burn with a different kind of passion. Maybe more realistic, but maybe even more hopeful. Maybe a passion that is burning, that's fed with hurts and pains. But it's a burning that comes that doesn't destroy, but seeks to purify. And bring healing. Pruning sometimes is harder than at other times, but it is necessary if we're going to become mature disciples of the living God who can love like He loves. Sees like He sees, serves like He serves, and all in an attitude of faith and trust.